I always say my addiction was validation. It wasn't like a food or, you know, alcohol or sex. My addiction has been validation and feeling like everything that I do, I need to look to other people and be like, is it okay? And how can I just like be okay with within myself and not have to look at other people?
Hi friends, I'm Jillian, the host of Teach Me How to Adult, a podcast on all the things you never learned growing up. Between landing your dream job, crushing your love life, learning to invest, mastering your mindset, and figuring out how to be happy along the way, there's a lot to navigate. I've learned firsthand that there's more than one way to adult, and it's not always linear. So consider this show my love letter to taking the unconventional route, creating new milestones, and carving out your own version of success. You're right where you should be. So join me every week as I call in the experts for unfiltered, game-changing advice on how we can all live our best lives. Adulting isn't easy, but we got you. Hi guys, I am super excited to share today's episode, especially for all the Bachelorette fans listening, because I got to dive deep on all of the things with Bachelorette alum Hannah Brown. We talk about relationships, cheating, dealing with our baggage, therapy, mental health, insecurities, success, and how to really define ourselves when the world tries to put us in boxes based on our appearance or what we do for a living. And to be honest, whether you're a TV star or just an everyday muggle like me, I think it's something that we all struggle with at some point, figuring out who we are outside of all of the expectations and the norms and the conditioning and the metrics of success that have been placed on us. I know I have definitely been on that journey over the last year of just redefining who I am and who I want to be and what actually matters to me outside of the job titles and the status and all of the external shit that we are convinced matters. And Hannah's superpower is honestly how vulnerable, self-aware, and open she is about her life experiences. And wow, has she ever had some insane life experiences from her time as a public figure and everything that was going on in the background during that time, being betrayed by her former fiance, all the way back to the trauma and the grief she experienced as a young child when her family members were killed. She has been through some shit, and it's clear that she's really doing the work to overcome all of that and to show up as her best self. And I'm really glad that she could share some of that work with us today. Hannah is a television personality, a podcast host, and New York Times best-selling author of her memoir, God Bless This Mess. After winning Miss Alabama USA in 2018, she was a fan favorite on The Bachelor and then The Bachelorette. She won Dancing with the Stars, and she crushed it on the Fox show Special Forces. She hosts a self-improvement podcast called Better Tomorrow, and she shares her authenticity and vulnerability with her millions of followers across social media. And now she is releasing her debut romance novel, Mistakes We Never Made, which comes out this May. Teach us how to find love that feels safe and find who we really are along the way, Hannah. Hannah, thank you so much for being here today. I am so thrilled to be talking to you. You have such a fascinating life story.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I want to start with relationships because I feel like you have really been through one of the most intense ringers you can go through with relationships and that you have so much wisdom to kind of share in this arena. You're recently engaged. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And I've heard you talk about how you guys are starting couples therapy early to really set yourself up for success. And I think that's so amazing and not often talked about. And I'd love to hear how you guys arrived at that decision and started therapy early on before your marriage.
Well, honestly, because I'm a hot mess. And so, I've had a lot, like you kind of said, I've had like a very unique experience with relationships, dating, that has taught me a lot, but I do feel like was a little bit harmful and kind of warped my view of what a healthy relationship should look like and didn't really set me up for success, quite honestly. My background, I love my parents, and they're probably like, gosh, what's she gonna stop ripping on us? But like, I wouldn't say like their marriage growing up was ideal. It's gotten a lot better. And so I really didn't know, whenever a commitment jump comes, like I don't know what that's supposed to look like. with this relationship has been already just so different. Like Adam does not fit any of my kind of the cycle or tendencies of people that I put myself in involvement with because it's trying to close some loop of my past. Like he doesn't really fit that. So my brain, even though I enjoyed being with him and we had a great relationship, I was always trying to find ways to like not make it work. He had his own stuff too, but I would say like for me, I really started to question like, what is love anyway? Like, how do I even know what that is? What I've been shown that it is what I see on TV love? I don't think so. I've been on TV and I don't think it is. And so it was really important for us, even though like we had a pretty solid relationship, we needed help to like really make this to where it could flourish. And our therapist always says that we know 50% of relationships end in divorce, but really there's still really only 20% of relationships that are actually like truly in love, happy, growth mindset relationship. And it's like, how can we be the 20%? Because I'm never okay with just settling or things just like being fine. Like I really do have that like growth mindset. I want to figure out why I am the way I am. And I'm so thankful to have a partner that also feels that same way. And so we want our first year of marriage to not be like the stereotypical, like the hardest year. Like we're doing the hard stuff now so that when we get married, it's really a celebration of the commitment we've already made. And I'm really proud of us, but it's not talked about that much. And I think because people feel like you have to be like, oh my gosh, everything's perfect. And and even with our relationship being pretty good, there's still like stuff that we both need to work on. And we're both pretty avoidant people when it comes to just, we both learned at a young age how to deal with our own stuff by ourselves. So with that, it's been interesting to learn how to really lean on each other and be vulnerable. And it's been really, really impactful for the way that we show up with each other, but the way that we show up with other people too.
It's such a powerful thing that I really think everyone should do. I'm not in a relationship right now, but when I'm in a serious one and approaching marriage, I definitely want to be in therapy just for maintenance before the big problems arise, because we're not taught how to communicate at all. Totally. We're not taught like how to fight constructively or any of these things. So if you equip yourself with those skills before shit hits the fan, then you're ready and you can do it together.
Yeah, I don't think therapy should be looked at as like a last resort. Like I think people, and even when I say, oh yeah, we're in couples therapy, I think people immediately think, oh, like they must have a horrible relationship. I'm like, no, I think people would look at our relationship a lot of times, oh wow, like they have a pretty good relationship, but there are things in our past that definitely needed to be able to see the light, to be able to really process. And of course, that's hard work, but it's also like been so connecting. We have 3-hour therapy sessions and we're going to dinner after and we're like, wow, that was really tough. But we're having like a date night after of like, hey, I felt really connected to you and I really see you now in a way. I really understand why you did this thing. And even when we're like, I don't know why I don't like you right now, it's like it has something to do with me. There's something that's happening right now that's triggering me. And to be able to like express that, and I didn't know how to do that. Yeah, we're not taught how to do that. So it's been cool and it's been like such a gift, but it's a gift that definitely comes with a lot of hard work. My therapist always says a lot of times people think, oh my gosh, you're just made for each other. And it's like, no. Nobody's really made for you. Or I don't want that to be what people say about us. It's like, no, I worked for this.
We built it together.
We built this. I want people to like celebrate that hard work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a bad thing that it takes work. It's like anything good in life takes work.
Totally. And there's like a lot of science behind, like, of course, like the first year and a half, it can be like 6 months to a year and a half. That is that true like honeymoon stage that people have. And a lot of times people get married during that year and a half. And it's like, what does your relationship look like when people are going through mental health issues, losing jobs, uncertain financial status, people like losing loved ones, that is where like you really get to see a person and how they react. And when we are not taught the skills of being able to hold that space, and then understanding why it is so hard for us individually to hold that space for each other because of our own stuff, like it's a whole thing. So it's not a last resort. It doesn't have to be a last resort. It could be, like you said, maintenance, but also just a way to be like, hey, I really want to know my person on a deeper level, but we don't even know how to do that. So like, let's ask somebody to kind of guide us. And how do we have these more uncomfortable or really vulnerable conversations where I can hold space with the person that I say I love the most? I don't know if we really know how to have unconditional love without a little bit of guidance on how to do that.
Yeah, that's really true. I love that. I'm curious also how you find safety in romantic relationships and what makes you feel safe with your partner.
Being seen and safe at the same time is really important. I really feel like you can fully be yourself. I think that is what safety means to me. So that's an environment of feeling like somebody's really listening to me, caring what I have to say, and I don't have to perform. I feel like that feels like safety for me. I think I can really find myself in different times in my life feeling like I needed to show up a certain way for somebody to love me. That is not, honestly, like Adam has seen me at my absolute worst and still been like, oh, I want her. Like that feels really safe.
Yeah. Does that feeling of like safety and security ever freak you out? I mean, I know when you come from a really, you know, kind of like chaotic and traumatic background, having things feel normal and safe and at ease can feel like uncomfortable. Like, I know it's really easy sometimes to want to like blow that up and be like, well, this feels boring and like I need more. And so how has that journey been for you to like accept that safety?
It has been a journey, and it is it's so interesting. Like for me, like commitment jumps are really hard because that means like I'll make it because I'm like, okay, this is right. I feel safe and seen. I feel all these things. But then I'll be like, oh my gosh, like it does feel so different. It doesn't feel normal for my brain. Like, you know, your brain is so malleable, but like also it has its own circuits that it's just used to going in. Yeah. And my relationships usually had a lot of anxiety in them. And so I try to find ways to fill that anxious feeling that my body's almost like used to. And it just takes like it's taken a lot of practice and commitment to stay even when it feels like friction, because there is a friction of it. It's changing the pattern. It's rewiring the brain in a different way. So like, yeah, to be honest, there's been some really hard times, and knowing that this just doesn't feel comfortable, even though it's calm. But that's the thing, like calm hasn't always felt comfortable.
Oh, I totally hear that. Yeah, I think especially for anxious brains, and you know, having a childhood where there you did go through a lot, the calmness can feel really uncomfortable. Yeah. And I haven't even gone through close to any of the trauma that I know that you've experienced yet. I in stillness and routine and like the nuances of everyday life, it fucking freaks me out sometimes, and I like run towards chaos. I'm like, let's blow some shit up.
I am so good at the reality TV part because it's like a alternate universe. It's not real life, and I'm really good at that. Real life has been a struggle.
Yeah.
The nuances of real life, I'm like, oh, I feel way more uncomfortable. That was a big aha for me. I did this show Special Forces, and it was like a simulation that felt really freaking real of like what it would be like to be training for like being a part of a Special Forces team in the military. And it was really tough, but like I had this big aha moment that I wouldn't say I'm like proud of. I mean, it was the resilience, but I was like, oh wow, like I feel more comfortable in this chaotic setting here. Like I could stay here when people are like, this is horrible, I'm sorry to go home. I'm like, why does my body feel more comfortable here in the most uncomfortable situation than it does in my real life? And that was a big like, okay, I had to adapt to feeling this way, and that is why I'm here, and giving myself grace for that. But like, life doesn't have to feel like a war. Like life shouldn't feel comfortable in a war zone. Like how do we accept the peace that's being offered to me, and I keep resisting it? And also, like, just because I've had some, like, those bigger T traumas, they're like, okay, yeah, that was pretty traumatic. Everybody has, like, we were all affected by something. It's, like, the impact of whatever the thing that was. And some of the, like, littlest things, some of those bigger traumas are the things that I'm not even having to deal with as much in therapy as like what somebody said to me when I was like 9 years old that like stuck to me, or, you know, it's just the impact of how that made you feel and what it made you think about yourself as a person and your worth, and that made you feel like you had to survive in some way or show up bigger or smaller. And how do you just show up as you? Being aware to it is the first step. And I think that does kind of come when when you can't really stop running anymore.
Yeah, in the stillness. That's probably why I think so many people kind of had like mental health crises or breakdowns or realizations during the pandemic, because everyone was forced to slow down. And in that stillness, like the realizations and the memories and all of these things came up, and everyone started questioning, like, how have I been living? What am I choosing to do? What am I repressing?
Yeah.
And so I think we're still kind of coming out of the after effects of what it's like to be forced to be still with ourselves. I also wanted to hear a little bit about how you've navigated the cheating and the betrayal that you have experienced in the past. I know for me, when that's happened, it really programmed how I approached my future relationships. And I've been really trying to like weed out what's helpful and what's not, and what to take away, and how to trust and believe and all of these things. And so how did that affect the way you have approached your current relationship?
Yeah, trust is hard because that's like it's very vulnerable. I'm trying to find a balance. I think there's a balance. Like, I've given my trust too freely, and then I've also like been like so like stonewalled to people too. And I'm trying to find the balance of that. I think that's important. Of like, not everybody does deserve your trust. I think I really went that way for a while, and even after I was like had some cheating in the past, I think I was just always like, oh well, it'll always come out. And it does. But I'm not going to worry about it. Like, I was never like a really jealous person. I've never really struggled with jealousy in relationships. A lot of that has just been having to work on the way that I value myself. I'm not trying to like give the guy or the relationship a break on that. But I do think it's a lot of how you view yourself. Okay, if somebody does cheat on you, which unfortunately, like, that happens to a lot of people, what are the conversations that are going on in your head about that? For me, that's when I had to be like, whoa, like, I really don't have a good self-talk. My self-esteem really needs help, because I'm questioning what I did, that I didn't make that decision to hurt somebody. And so even though that happened in the past, I have not really brought that into this relationship because of the safety and security that's been like shown over and over. I've never questioned or thought about that. But that's just the kind of person that he is. And I think we all should have a relationship like that. But gosh, it's kind of hard to come by.
You did the work on yourself, which is very wise, because we can't control what other people do. And if we spend our whole lives trying to anticipate, will someone hurt me again? All we do is basically suffer and create anxiety, and it doesn't change the outcome.
Yeah,
but we can control ourselves and our feelings and our confidence.
Yeah, I think I'd been cheated on in the past, like when I was really young. I think after that happened, like, I caught myself like questioning, like, oh, like, was it me? And then I was just like really fed up with it. And then yeah. Like, if anybody ever cheats on me again, like, I'm not doing this again. When the relationship ended, I was like, I can't believe I even put up with that and mended it at that point. And now it's just like, if somebody like shows you who they are or how they value you, I think
it says more about them.
Yeah.
I'd love to drill down more on the like kind of insecurity piece that we were talking about, because you've been really, really open about your past with like confidence issues and insecurities and even disordered eating during your pageant years. And I'd love to know how you're feeling these days about your relationship with your body image and what's helped you cultivate more confidence.
It's a continuous thing that like also ebbs and flows. I just read this book. It was called The Six Pillars of Self-Esteem. And there's kind of two parts of self-esteem. It's like there's the worth piece, like the worthiness, like believing that you're worthy of love and respect and all those different things. But there's also really believing that you have the ability to be capable of things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That like really resonated with me. But like when that stuff is not there, I do not believe that I am always worthy or have the ability. And that was like such a eye opener to me, to like, oh my gosh, I have pretty low self-esteem when it's not like some outward success is happening, or if I'm not skinny, or if I'm not, you know, winning something or the best at this, like when all, if all that's stripped away, how do I actually view myself? And that has been such a eye opener to me, because that is not all who I, that's not who I am. Like, how do I believe that, like, as a human, I am still worthy whether an accident happens tomorrow and I don't look the same way that I do today, or I don't have the ability to have some of these amazing opportunities because of one thing that happens. Like, does that still mean that I'm worthy as a human? And I'm working on that and really securing that. And it's been cool to be able to like slowly start really believing in the value that I bring just as I am, as Hannah, with no title or pathway to explain of how you might know me. And
yeah,
that feels really good, and it's really hard, but it is building me a foundation that has, I'm already seeing how some of the insecurities and the things that I have, they've come to the surface, but I have a better way of assessing the truth and the lie of all those things because of really having a better belief of who I am. I don't know. So,
yeah.
So I feel like I'm in a better place than I ever have been because I'm actually understanding how to create the foundation to be able to handle the ebbs and flows of the days where I don't feel as good about my body, or somebody says something about me that's hurtful. It's like, okay, but is that where I really get my value from? Mm. And it has been a lot in the past, but I'm trying to change that. And yeah, it's tough because I always thought, you know, like I'm pretty resilient. I get through things. I feel like I can keep going, but there was some roots that needed to be like torn up, and we needed to lay something a little bit stronger down to really be able to grow as a person, build as a person, and to be able to handle the hard days when I am still having those negative thoughts. Like, how do I navigate that? And I'm proud of the journey that I'm on, but it's still a journey.
Yeah, it'll always be a journey, but that's beautiful. It's really a journey to like seeing ourselves as a whole instead of these parts that can come to define us. Like, who am I, you know, who am I without like this podcast that I truly love? And like, you know, you've had this like this public journey that you've been so defined by. So I can only imagine the work it requires to like dig underneath that and be like, but who I am, who am I without all these things?
Or even like, okay, is the reason people like me really who I am? That is hard. Like,
yeah, like, that's a mind fuck.
I'm like, I think people like me because of this one thing that they saw, but they may even that and what they've decided that means of who I am. Does that make sense? They saw a one moment of me and then have created a narrative of what that is. And is that actually me at all? But that's why people love me. So do I really fall into that part of me and make that who I am because that's where I get validation? Or do I actually have to just shut out all that noise and just continue on like trying to find out where the truth of all that is, and if that part is actually true or not? And that can be really, really tough, especially if like, I mean, I always say my addiction was validation. It wasn't like
a
food or, you know, alcohol or sex or, you know, all these different things. Like, no, my addiction has been validation and feeling like everything that I do, I need to look to other people and be like, is it okay? And how can I just like be okay within myself and not have to look at other people? Ooh,
that's big. Yeah, you've talked about this before, and you captured it in this great quote where you said, I don't think I fit in any of these things that people are saying about me. I don't know how to define myself anymore. I want to get to know myself without the labels. I know all sorts of labels have been put on you, you know, even in your bachelorette days, of like sex positive icon and all these things that you're like, am I? I don't know. Like, these things are being decided for me. And mm-hmm. and then you have these accomplishments that are, you know, people I'm sure read out your bio and you're like, okay, I guess that's who I am. I've done this, this, and this, and that's who I am. But I know you've said that you don't want to define yourself by that. And I'm curious, what do you define yourself by these days?
Honestly, I'm still trying to figure that out. Like I said, I kind of was living for everybody else or what I thought people wanted me to be. And I'm like having to relearn. I think every, as you like become an adult, like we forget how to play. We don't even know what we actually like to do. We just like started this job or somebody told us we were good at this one thing. And so we just kept doing that. And sometimes you're like, do I even like this thing that I've devoted my whole life to? I started feeling that of like, I don't even know what I like to do. I don't even know how I want people to like, when they think of me, what do I want them to say? Other than, you know, being a good human or making people feel like they can be themselves and seen and not judged and valued as just being a human being. Like that's how I want people to be able to say when they're around me what they see me as. I'm going to live my life every day trying to be a better version of myself. That's my podcast. It's called Better Tomorrow. And like I will always have a growth mindset, but there's also, I would love to be defined by the way that I can hopefully, and I'm not here yet, but what I would like to be is somebody that could really surrender to the process, surrender to the control of needing to be defined any certain way. I would love to be able to define myself as somebody that could just like surrender that control and really just be able to be and take up my space in the world and believe that the value of me just being here is enough. And there's no other words that need to be said.
Snaps for that. Yeah. That's beautiful. I see that for you.
I'm trying to every day, and some days I take a step back, but how can I surround myself? How can I have with people who also are kind of on the same pursuit as me? How can I have conversations that really inspire me to keep going, encourage me to show up differently? I think it can be really easy to get not just like distracted, but get misconstrued what is actually like true about the world and who you are. And it can be like mm-hmm. such easy things. It can be just a conversation with some people and how they view the world that can make you start to doubt and question how you see yourself, which is very interesting.
We are who we surround ourselves by.
Reality TV.
But that doesn't define you, so that's okay. No. I want to talk a bit more about mental health and what it was like dealing with depression and anxiety while being in the public eye for most of your 20s and what tools have helped you with your mental health.
It's tough. I've always, before I even knew like what mental health was, like kind of struggled being sad, and I was really scared of my sadness, I think, for a long time, because it's like that those are feeling sad, mad.
Those are the quote anxious, bad emotions.
Those are the bad ones. Yeah. So like I didn't want to be bad, so how do I just like push this away? And that creates a lot of isolation or dealing with things on your own. Or I think being in a public eye and struggling with that, people are like, there's a lot of ways to distract. But then sometimes it gets so bad that it's like, I can't, you know, you can really do anything. And it gets pretty scary. So I think for me, the first thing and kind of continuous thing that I've had to do is really just be honest about the truth of what I'm feeling. Even when people are saying, you know, like I've talked about it, sometimes people will be like, oh my gosh, what do you have to be sad about? That doesn't diminish that it's still there, regardless if you've gone through something really hard or not, to be able to really sit in it. And the only way you have to go through it, oh, it's so hard. So I've been having to learn how to like really go through it to be able to heal it. And that doesn't mean like, to be honest, like today I woke up so anxious. I've been honestly like great the past few weeks. Like I really felt like I've gotten my mental health like in such a better place. And then started honestly wedding planning and thinking about all that and just like the logistics of it all, like then just put me in a tailspin. And so it's still a battle. It's still a battle, but I think naming it is really important. I could come on here and be like, oh my gosh, like I figured everything out. It's like, no, I was having a freaking meltdown last night and still kind of woke up a little anxious, and being able to like, that doesn't define who I am, but I've got to feel it and I've got to name it. But then I do have tools and I have people around me and I have an awesome, I'm so thankful I have an awesome relationship that, you know, it's like, hey, I'm just going to give you a hug. Like, how can I help you? How can I support you today? I have great people who, you know, are professionals in mental health that can help me. So, and I know that that is a privilege that I have, but I do think it's important to find people or to go to a professional that you can say, hey, I'm struggling, name it, and then figure out how to work through it instead of pushing it aside. And that's how I feel like that's what I've found helps. And sometimes it's not on your timeline of how long the sadness stays. I've just tried to find tools to help me through. There is a day it does get better. And that day's so worth it.
Yeah.
It's so worth it. But it doesn't diminish that it doesn't hurt on the days that it hurts.
And that you have to do some hard shit to get to that good day.
Yeah. It's worth it to anybody that's in the hard days.
What do you reach for when you're kind of like in the trenches on it? Is it like journaling or breath work or like just talking to your partner, or what helps?
It's a lot of things. The type of information, the type of conversations that I am ingesting is so important. When you listen to this podcast, it make you feel better or worse. Like take that, feel that.
Curating that environment. Yeah.
Sometimes I can distract and like just watch movies and TV. Like I love TV and movies so much. Like, it was the way that I soothed myself when I was younger. So I think that you can lean on some of those soothing things. Like what type of movie? Am I watching a movie that makes me feel better, lighter, encouraged, inspired? Things like that doesn't mean I can't watch TV because TV is bad, but like I maybe don't need to binge out for 12 hours like that.
Right. Yeah.
There's a balance.
It's like take the edge off a bit so that you can like deal with things without being in absolute.
Yeah. And going out on a walk, just like changing my proximity to whatever the emotion, like where I'm feeling that emotion, what's going on at home, just like go on a walk, deep breaths. And journaling, like that's part of my therapy, is I journal on a doc for my therapist to like see, but also I can use it as my own.
Did that help you with your first book?
The journaling? I like went through, for my first book, I journaled every single day. Part of my therapy has been kind of accountability to try to like that my thoughts matter, that my voice matters, that what I'm feeling doesn't always have to make sense.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Did you have to hide or, you know, kind of like play down a lot of that anxiety when you were on The Bachelorette and on TV? Or was it like a space where you could hold both things?
It was not a safe environment to be seen, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like I was a lot myself. Sometimes you don't need a camera in your face when you're having a really real authentic moment of sadness or anxiety. And then did I have to like, did it get more amplified than maybe it needed to be? Or did I feel like I had to stuff it down to be able to get through the workday? Because it's a job too. Yeah, I felt all those things.
Does anxiety and fear, do they ever affect your career decisions? Or how have you like prevented that from holding you back?
Totally. I am just now really feeling and starting to learn how to really show up as myself in my career. Mm-hmm. And I know that might surprise people, like, oh my gosh, I feel like you are so yourself. And I am, but I feel like I've vanillaed myself a little bit because of fear and anxiety and not knowing how to show up, when to show up. That's something I'm really working on in therapy, of just how do I want to show up in this space? And like, It's still a process. So it really has affected the way what I believe I can do, how I even like celebrate when I do like have maybe like a win. I like am too scared to celebrate it sometimes. Like it's Yeah. So it has totally affected me, and I'm still trying to work through the fear to show up more.
Yeah. I love how you put that vanilla, like that you vanilla yourself down because of it. Because, oh my God, I relate to that too.
Yeah.
Really like showing up and being like, that's only a portion of me. And why am I so anxious to be all of me? And why am I this like vanilla, like white bread version of myself right now when there's so many other dimensions? But it can feel scary.
But also, it's kind of that you can't, I mean, I love the people can't who follow me, but like we can't trust them to like really be able to hold space for us sometimes. So it's really vulnerable. So you have to either work on how your response or really relationship with the validation to be able to show up and not care. How do you create a community that like you can just fully be yourself with? So that's, and that's really hard to do with hundreds of thousands, millions of people. It's just, it's not the easiest thing to do. I don't think we weren't really created for that.
Yeah, that's, we definitely weren't. Yeah. But as Hannah Brown says, we do it scared.
Yes.
And I love that. It's, we can do it scared and we can like face that fear and push through. I also wanted to talk to you about how you decide what ventures to take on. Like you have so many opportunities, I'm sure, every year knocking on your door. You're about to go on a live tour with Caitlin Bristow. You do so many things with podcasting and your books and TV. What is your like North Star or your compass for how you choose what you want to work on?
It has to be in alignment with what I value as a person and in my like professional life. And if it doesn't like, if it's not like an experience, like a once in a lifetime experience to like push myself, get uncomfortable, because I think getting yourself uncomfortable is really important. So that could be something that like would be in alignment if it, even though it might be scary, I would be like, okay, let's do that. Or if it's something that is in alignment with something that I like, I value or an interest that I have, like even Tyler Cameron's show where he has a new show come out and I'm doing a space where I get to do some of my interior design. That's what I did before I was on TV, and I was like, okay, you know, this would be fun for me to kind of get back into this part of my life that I really love. That feels really good. Having important conversations with people where I feel like I can connect feels really good. So like what feels authentic is kind of my North Star, really being honest and taking like a second to be like, even if I thought it was going to be something that made me feel good, then like always reevaluating, okay, like how did that actually feel?
Yeah.
Did that feel like I could be safe and seen at the same time? And trying to find things that make me feel like I can be that.
That's a perfect answer. As you head towards your 30th birthday, what advice would you go back and give to yourself in your early 20s?
Oh my gosh, so much. I think I would just, I wish I really knew it was okay to want something different or to hope for something more. And that doesn't mean that it was always better than whatever. It was just, it's just more. And to believe that I was really worth it. And I think that it was okay. Like people are really going to love you for who you are. You don't have to just keep trying to be the version of yourself that you think people will validate or like. I think I really struggled with that of just looking around at what I thought it meant to be a good version of Hannah, instead of just like being me. Like, what do I actually think is fun? It's never too late. Like I'm so glad that I'm doing that at 30. And I hope, you know, the next years of my life, I'm really living an even truer, authentic version of my life because I'm taking the time to like color and dance in a way that is not for a competition, but just because with the person that I love, or to travel and try new experiences, to be really bad at pottery, you know, like what is it that is fun to me? What type of business experiences like get me excited to wake up in the morning? Like I believe that I'm worth finding that. And I don't know if I thought that 10 years ago. I would want her to know that.
That's really, really beautiful. I'm glad you have arrived there now. And these like big milestones, like 30 or whatever big mountain lies ahead of all of us, it's such a great opportunity to rediscover ourselves and to be like, am I being who I want to be? Am I doing the things that would bring me joy? Am I only doing things that I can like commodify and that I think I can win at? Or am I just allowing myself to like pursue joy?
And yeah,
I think that's wonderful. In the same vein, the last question I love to ask my guests, because this is a podcast about adulting, is what is one thing that you wish you had learned in school that would have benefited you in adulthood?
Oh my gosh. There's like a list going on in my head right now. I mean, the biggest one, I think probably everybody, like how to invest, how to use a credit card properly. My parents should have taught me that. Like, I didn't have
the fact that we're given these credit cards and not told like how to use them properly.
Like, how do you pay them off properly?
We've all probably lost so much money to interest not knowing that for years.
Yeah, I think investing, like I like always look at these like, okay, if you invested at 18, even if it was like this amount of money, I'm like, oh my gosh, how awesome would that be? Yeah. And I'm still young, and so I'm glad like I've started at least investing now. But yeah, I just wish there was more like classes on finances in any way, because I feel really scared of my finances sometimes. It just feels really overwhelming. I wish I had one that was cooler. That's just like the one that I like am upset about all the time.
But it's true. It is real, because it feels like we are playing this game that's fixed, and the only way to like hack and win the game is to have known how to invest and how to like engage in passive income and all of these things that we're not taught early on. And that if you do that early on, you don't have to like trade your hours for dollars for the rest of your life. And
yes.
If you don't learn that, then it feels like you're stuck in a never ending cycle of, I'm going to have to continue to do this for the rest of my life. So
yeah,
it's just like empowerment. And I think especially for women, it's so important that we have that empowerment, because with financial freedom comes a lot of
confidence.
100%. I agree with you. I'd love if you could just share with my listeners where they can follow you and find you and get your new book and when it's out.
Yeah. So you can find me on social media at Hannah Brown. I have a new book coming out. It's called Mistakes We Never Made. It's my first fiction novel. Really excited about it. It's such like a fun, fast-paced read. If you love road trips, enemies to lovers, a great group of girlfriends, and like a runaway bride, I think.
Oh my God, who wouldn't love this?
I mean, it's all the best things. I say it's like kind of like a Harry Met Sally meets The Hangover meets Sister of the Traveling Pants, and like that fun. Is just a trifecta right there. So it is available for pre-order now, and you can get all the information. I have a link in my bio of all the places that you can order it. There are signed copies available. And yeah, I'm going on book tour here soon, and I have all the information also on my Instagram. So if you are in any of the cities that I'm going to be there, I would love to meet you guys. This is one of those things that like I always wanted to do, but like was scared to do, but I never thought people would want to read a book about myself. But I have my first memoir was about myself, but I always wanted to get creative this way and kind of create another universe and tell a story that is based in truth and from my own feelings, but totally different characters. And it's fun to be like living this out and have a great team helping me do it. So y'all be sure to check it out.
That's so fun. Yes, definitely. Did you find it easier or just different to kind of create that universe and create like a fictional story versus like a memoir where you probably had to like
different dig deep definitely
and like extract hard, a lot
harder because it's not my own life like creating something that fully, but harder like mentally and emotionally was writing about my own life and knowing that I was going to share that. Yeah.
It's a brave thing to do, but congratulations on both of them because it's such an amazing accomplishment.
Thank you.
Writing a book is still a dream of mine. So I love seeing other people do that. So I'll definitely link everything in the show notes. And yeah, I'm so excited for it to come out. And this has been such a lovely chat.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
There you have it, friends. Thanks for listening, and make sure you're following along on Instagram at Teach Me How to Adult Media and on TikTok at Teach Me How to Adult. If you like what you heard today, it would mean so much if you would subscribe and leave a comment or a rating. It really helps us grow the show. And if something in this episode really resonated, text it to your friends or screenshot it and share it on social. Wherever you are in your adulting journey, just remember you're not alone. My DMs are always open and I would love to hear from you. So hit me up with any topics or guests that you would like to hear about. See you next time. Bye!